Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
And for today's program, we're going to be focusing our attention on this nuclear Iran deal. Congress is returning back from summer break, and they're going to have to take a vote. And if you remember, because this is now coming to a point where it's being reported that the president has the necessary votes to pass this bill. It's this treaty, if you will, to get this thing in motion. And we've heard from Secretary of State John Kerry when he said that we had no other alternative. And that's not necessarily true. The alternative we had, because he says if we don't have this treaty, then we're going to have war. And that's not true. Because the truth of the matter is that these sanctions that were on Iran were working. We literally crippled their economy, and we forced them to comply, and they were doing good. And now what we've done with this treaty, this Iran deal, is lift those sanctions and literally release over $150 billion that were in frozen assets. Listen, this is a crucial month, a crucial time. We're entering now into the fourth of the four blood moons in October. This is a time for us to be watchful, to remain watchmen on the wall, and to pray. Oftentimes, people want to refer to prayer as the last resort, but I want to tell you that today, prayer, as always, is the first resort. It is the chief thing, the most important thing that we can do as believers is to appeal to heaven and to call on God to intervene. Nothing is too big for God, and no strategy of man can ever succeed against God's plans. And so we want to pray, we want to be vigilant, and we want to make sure that we are supportive of what God wants to do in Israel. And we don't want Iran to be empowered with these nuclear weapons, which they have already said they want to annihilate Israel. I want you to watch as CBN begins to talk about this Iran deal, and with Senator from Arkansas, Tom Cotton, as he shares on his visit with B.B. Benjamin Netanyahu. Watch this.
Thanks, Pat. President Obama now has enough support in the Senate to push through the nuclear agreement with Iran, but vocal and ardent opponents like Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton warned the majority of Congress and the American people are still against it. Cotton was in Israel this week and told CBN's Chris Mitchell why this agreement could lead to a nuclear arms race and possibly war.
Senator Cotton met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other Israeli leaders about the Iranian deal. He says the deal puts the U.S. and Israel in great danger.
Even if Iran follows the deal to the letter, they're going to be a nuclear threshold state in a mere 10 to 15 years, which, as Prime Minister Netanyahu said, is the blink of an eye in the life of nations.
But Secretary of State John Kerry made the case the deal is the best way to prevent Iran from going nuclear.
Without this agreement, Iran's so-called breakout time was about 2 months. With this agreement, it will increase by a factor of 6 to at least a year, and it will remain at that level for a decade or more.
Senator Cotton exposed the secret side deal between the IAEA and Iran over Iran's sensitive military site at Parchin. Instead of outside inspectors, it allows Iran to inspect itself and send in the results to the UN Inspection Agency.
It's kind of like letting an NFL player take his own drug test at home and mail it in to Roger Goodell at NFL offices so he can establish his eligibility.
Cotton says if Iran goes nuclear, they're different from other nations.
Iran, however, is run by radical clerics who continually chant death to America and death to Israel in the street, led by their national leadership. They have the blood of hundreds of Americans on their hands from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. They continue to try to kill Jews all around the world, and they are destabilizing the entire Middle East.
On Capitol Hill, the president has the votes he needs in the Senate to uphold his promised veto.
So for the first time in American history, a deal is going to go forward with a majority vote against it in both the Senate and the House, and a strong majority of the American people against it. This nuclear deal with Iran is going to be the worst agreement in the history of American foreign policy. And that's because the president didn't respect our Constitution, didn't respect the treaty clause of the Constitution. If there's anything that should have been submitted as a treaty to the Congress. It is a nuclear arms deal with a mortal and unrepentant enemy.
With Middle East nations already saying publicly and privately they want nuclear weapons, Cotton fears the deal would lead to a nuclear arms race with possible catastrophic consequences to the region and the U.S.
So I believe if this deal goes forward, we are at risk of entering a second nuclear age, and the loss of life will be counted not in the tens, not in the thousands, not even the hundreds of thousands, but in the millions. And that loss of life could include U.S. lives, because Iran is also developing a ballistic missile program, and they also have terrorist groups that are shown they are willing to kill Americans.
Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
Well, here we are. It's like a D-Day. I mean, this is, you know, it's this is that. And here we are at this moment where this is going to go before Congress, and reportedly the votes are there to support the president and Secretary of State John Kerry and what they've been doing. Mm-hmm. This whole plan, this whole strategy, and understand that Iran, we're talking about the number one state sponsor of terror, terrorism. What does that mean? That they've been supporting for years Hamas and other organizations to do terrorism activities, bombs, killings, murders, and now with this agreement, they're about to be released over $150 billion in frozen assets. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to deduct and to reason and to figure out what they will do with $150 billion. They've done it before. And when we've shared before on this program, about allegedly the Ayatollah Khomeini's own words. He says, listen, I serve Allah, not Iran. If the country has to go, it's a small price to pay. And that's a loose paraphrase, but that's essentially what is being communicated. They are willing to give themselves up. And when you talk about why is this such a big deal and why should Iran not have nuclear weapons? Steve, the truth is that there are other countries that have nuclear weapons. They do have them. And
but they're not shouting death to America, death to Israel.
Right.
That's kind of a big one.
Right. Typically, what's happening is that, you know, these countries have them, but it's nobody really wants to use them. It's a way to show strength and saying, you know, if you throw one this way, we're going to throw one that way, and we're both going to be gone, so let's not throw any at all. And so no one's bragging about what they have or that they want to use them. It's a deterrent. However, in the face of Iran, it's not a deterrent. They've said they have not hidden their agenda. They have not hidden their plans. They have vocalized, as you just said, Steve, with in groups of thousands chanting death to America in the middle of these negotiations. They actually blew up a mock U.S. Carrier in the ocean with some sort of missile in the middle of these negotiations. And yet the United States can be part of an agreement where we don't even negotiate from a position of strength. We've already had sanctions on them that have proven, according to many reports, to be quite successful. We've crippled their economy. At the very least, from the beginning, the first thing we should have done is to say you have four American hostages before we begin even to talk about releasing any kind of sanctions on you, is for you to release these Americans as a good faith gesture. We'll get to the deal, but let's at least do that. We didn't even get any of the prisoners, including Pastor Saeed Abedini, who's been sentenced to 8 years in Iranian prison, reportedly in Evin prison, one of the worst prisons in Iran. Reports are that he's been brutalized. He has not received medical attention, and he's been in prison for 3 years now. 3 years. It's not like this administration did not know. In fact, his wife, Abedini Uma, has been speaking across the country. She's actually spoken to the president himself. Jay Sekulow and their organization has talked tremendously about this. And yet and still, there was nothing. Nothing. And so many people are concerned today, like, what is really happening? What is going on? We are on a slippery slope, and unless we really repent and turn to God, we are getting ready to do, unless God intervenes, we're getting ready to support Iran in nuclear weapons, the arch enemy of our closest ally, Israel. We've had a history since they became a nation, since Harry Truman, President of the United States, pulled the full backing of the United States behind Israel becoming a nation. Nearly every single president since Harry Truman has always reaffirmed our commitment to supporting Israel. And yet we have in it a president for the first time that's literally been at odds with Bibi. And this is not going to play out well. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about the implications of this deal and what it means, not just to Israel, but what it means to the United States. Here we are, Steve, right in the middle of what can be a decision with this vote that really can affect the future of Israel, the United States, and, you know, if you're in Congress today, your vote is going to matter. Your vote counts, whether you're in the House and the Senate, and it's not going to be something that can be hidden or passed away. You're going to stand before God one day, and like all of us, I mean, not just our elected representatives, we all have a right, a role to play in this. We need to be involved as citizens and as believers, as Christians. How can we expect our elected representatives to have any conviction, to take any bold stand, Steve, if we ourselves are not A, informed of what's going on, and B, standing in the gap and praying according to God's will, his word, and his ways? How, if we're not burdened, if we're not standing in the gap, listen, is there hope? Is there hope? We have to be the ones, and many are, and I'm really grateful for all of the many sons and daughters of God that are praying for Israel, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, for those who are involved in organizations like CUFI, Christians United for Israel, that Pastor John Hagee has founded, that is a group that puts some action behind their words. And if you're looking for organizations like that to support, by all means, support them. Also, too, if you are interested in partner with VFN-TV. We have many segments in which we have stood boldly for Israel and will continue to do so. One of the purposes of this program's existence is to support and stand by Israel and the Jewish people, and that's something we will always, always do. I want to bring your attention to Prager University as they put together a wonderful presentation that begins to explain and unpack the Iran deal in terms that is really simple for many of us to understand. Watch this.
We say that evil is dark, but this metaphor is imprecise. Evil is actually intensely bright, so painfully bright that people look away from it. Many even deny its existence. Why? Because once people acknowledge evil's existence, they know they have to confront it. And most people prefer not to confront evil. That is what led to World War II and the death of 55 million people. Many in the West denied the darkness of Nazism. They looked the other way when that evil could have been stopped and then appeased it as it became stronger. We are reliving 1938, the year that democratic Western nations assured a police state, the Nazi regime, that they would do nothing to prevent its expansion. That year, the British Prime Minister, Neville Chamberlain, went to Munich to negotiate with Adolf Hitler. He left believing Hitler's promises of peace in exchange for Germany being allowed to annex large parts of Czechoslovakia. Upon returning to England, Chamberlain announced, "Peace for our time." The 2015 agreement between America, Europe, Russia, China, and Iran mirrors 1938. The Nazi regime was a police state. The Islamic Republic of Iran is a police state. The Nazis' greatest aim was to exterminate the Jews of Europe. Iran's greatest aim is to exterminate the Jewish state. The West dismissed Hitler as the Jews' problem. The West dismisses Iran as Israel's problem. Nazi Germany hated the West and its freedoms. The Islamic Republic of Iran hates the West and its freedoms. Germany sought to dominate Europe. Iran seeks to dominate the Middle East and the Muslim world. And just as Britain and France appeased Nazi Germany, the same two countries, along with the United States, have chosen to appease Iran. In fact, there's considerably less defense for the Iran agreement, which awards Iran $150 billion in currently frozen assets and the right to keep its nuclear program, than there was for the Munich agreement. Prior to 1938, Hitler had not publicly proclaimed his aim to annihilate Europe's Jews. Yet Iran has been proclaiming its intention to annihilate the Jewish state for decades. There were no massive death to America demonstrations in Germany, as there regularly are in Iran. In 1938, Germany had not been responsible for terror around the world, as Iran is now. Nor was Germany responsible for the death of more than 1,000 Americans, as Iran has been in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Lebanon. The Neville Chamberlains of 2015 defend the agreement with Iran on two grounds: that the only alternative is war, and that this agreement has the capacity to bring Iran into the, quote, community of nations. The war argument is a falsehood for three reasons. First, the alternative to this agreement was continuing and tightening the sanctions that were weakening the Iranian regime and greatly diminishing its ability to fund terror groups around the world. Second, because the agreement so strengthens Iran, it makes war far more likely. When evil expansionist regimes get richer, they don't spend their wealth on building new hospitals. They expand. Third, Iran has been at war with America for decades. And whoever believes that the agreement will bring Iran into the, quote, community of nations, betrays a breathtaking ignorance of the Iranian regime. The Iranian regime is composed of religious fanatics who are morally indistinguishable from ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, and all the other mass-murdering Islamist movements. The Iranian regime has executed more people than any country except China and killed more than 6,000 Iranians just for being homosexual. A woman in Iran is not allowed to leave the country without the permission of her husband. The Iranian regime repeatedly calls for the extermination of Israel. No other country in the world is committed to annihilating another country. Iran is already the world's greatest funder of terror organizations. Imagine what it will do with another $150 billion. Imagine what it will do with the removal of the current weapons and missile embargo. Imagine what it will do with its intact nuclear infrastructure. This deal allows all three. Very few people have a chance to do something about the greatest evil of their time. When it votes on this agreement, the American Congress has that chance. I'm Dennis Prager.
This is our moment. I believe there's three key things that are happening right now, three key issues that are paramount. And whichever way this goes would basically going to ensure, I believe, what's going to happen next to America and some of the calamity that we're going to see. How we respond to the defunding of Planned Parenthood with all the evidence that's been provided, what we do in that case, whether we defund or not defund, will have serious consequences. I believe that our support or betrayal of Israel, if we betray Israel and we allow this Iran deal to go through, I believe it will have significant consequences. And what we do with the thousands of Christians that are being persecuted every single day, hundreds of thousands of migrants now, refugees, they're flooding Europe, running for their lives. drowning in the oceans. What we do as believers, what we do as a nation to help them. Or are we going to turn a blind eye? I'm telling you, this is the moment. Jeremiah 6:16 says this. Stand at the crossroads. America's at a crossroads. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. We got to go back to the ancient paths. We got to do what's right. God's already told us in his word. Mm-hmm. All we need to do is follow and obey. We're at a crossroads and it's time. It's time to take a stand because time is running out.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. Steve, I can't help to think that this is a September to remember. And just saying that alone, if you have not had the chance to listen to Brother Kilpatrick's recent message, A September to Remember, do whatever you can
mm-hmm.
to hear this message, to watch it. You can go to johnkilpatrick.org or maybe even Church of His Presence and get a hold of this message mm-hmm. because he outlines some very key and strategic things that are going to happen in terms of events in the month of September. And so many things lie, you know, in the balance, if you will. And so we want to be aware. We don't want to be surprised. But one of those things that's coming up here in October, actually, is the fourth of the mm-hmm. four blood moons.
It's actually September 28th.
Is it September 28th?
Yeah, actually, okay. In this month.
In this month. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, because what happens now, history has said that, you know, it starts off with tears for Israel and then ends with joy. And so we need to start looking at what does this look like now? What does this look like? Because Jeremiah says, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it. There is a good way. There's a right way. And it's the way of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when we begin to just violate what God's word says, we'd be ignorant to think that we're not going to suffer the consequences.
Mm-hmm. And I think about one of the last things that you said in one of our previous programs is like all of these realities, the things that is coming to the surface, is that it's awakening our conscience. And you're talking about the decision regarding defunding Planned Parenthood. And it's one thing to know that they're doing abortions and then to see the visualization, the repeated videos that are coming out. And now with what Prager University is revealing, and it's like, when you compare what was done in 1938 in what Nazi Germany was not doing, they were not calling for the annihilation of both Israel and America. Mm. They were not the foremost sponsor of terrorism. They were not doing the things that Iran is doing.
Now.
And not only are we making decisions that is we're separating ourselves from the allegiance of Israel and we're supporting their enemy, Iran, but now that we're saying, here's $150 billion. And it's like we are in this reality of, and it's just like God is just bringing all of this to the surface and saying, what are you going to do with this?
Yeah. Imagine what they were doing with 10 cents. Now we're going to give them $150 billion.
Right.
That's with a B, billion dollars. It's time to pray. And some of the things to consider is, what does it mean when a country turns their back on Israel? I mean, we really need to start looking at that. What can we begin to start seeing if our country, the United States, turns our back on Israel? And I think about what happened to Great Britain. I mean, Great Britain, listen, the sun never sat down in their kingdom. And to see how they treated the Jews and to see the little remnant of what's left of the UK, of that kingdom. When you look at Spain, I mean, the dominant countries in way back were Spain and we're England, and look at what they have shrunk to.
Mm-hmm.
When King Ferdinand kicked out all the Jews, look what happened to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally a shell, nothing of what they used to be. What will happen to America? What will happen to America if we get involved with Jerusalem? I think about the New Madrid Fault that Brother John Kilpatrick had a dream about, and the Lord showed him the splitting of the country.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't yet to begin to see the devastation. It's going to be horrific, but it doesn't have to be. But I'm telling you that we're close unless we repent, unless God intervenes. We've never been at a place where we are today. And we are on the precipice of something that is not good for this nation. And I'm telling you that today in America, if it doesn't affect people's pocketbooks, if it doesn't, you know, if it hurts them in any way, they will throw anyone over the boat, including their own mother, if it saves them a dollar. And today, listen, we need to start voting and doing the things that are right just because it's right, mm-hmm. not because we have, quote unquote, a personal interest, you know, involved in this thing. It doesn't matter. We mm-hmm. need to be about God's interest. You know, it's righteousness that exalts a nation. You know, so what does America look for? You know, what can we expect from Israel? So, needless to say, Israel and President Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, they're for sure, you can bet on it, that they are considering all of their options, and one of which is to take out these nuclear reactors. I mean, they've done this before with Iraq. They literally destroyed their nuclear reactor, mm-hmm. just flew over and dropped the bomb, and it was done.
Mm-hmm.
And they have done things before to disrupt these nuclear reactors in Iran. But it's getting so close, and now that they have seen that America hangs in the balance and they've took such a tremendous turn, particularly with this administration, they see that they're going to get zero help from the United Nations. We've seen this over the years. There is an unstoppable communist Islamic voting bloc that continues to hit Israel with mm-hmm. sanction upon sanction. And so they know they're going to get zero help from the UN. In fact, the UN could potentially do them in. In fact, the UN is meeting, I believe it's in September, Steve, for the 70th year anniversary of the UN being put together. There's so many things that are happening. There's so many things that are converging at a time right now that we have to pray. We have to be involved.
Yeah, they're meeting this month, September 15th.
We have to be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
We want to mark these dates on your calendar and take, I want to encourage you that this is a time to set some time aside, even to pray, to even fast, and to really seek the heart of God and to pray for God to intervene. We need to appeal to heaven, and we need to repent. And we want to make sure that God's blessing remains in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've often heard people say, God bless America. But the truth is that God has blessed America so much. It's time for America to bless God. We are the most blessed nation in the world. And I'm afraid that's something that we have taken for granted mm-hmm. far too long. We are blessed. You're blessed when you can watch on your television screen hundreds of thousands of people around the world, primarily coming from Syria, and they are running. They are entering boats. They're getting on trains. Some of them are walking, Steve, 100 miles, busting out of refugee camps to go into Europe, to go into Hungary, to go into Berlin. Germany says now that they can take in 500,000 refugees a year. They're giving them money. They're giving them food. And America has taken in 1,000 Syrian refugees. And they're running from their lives. Reports are that the gospel is being shared with them in different places around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, my goodness, listen, this is our time to be watchful. And the last thing I want to say is what's going to happen to the Middle East. Many believe that this will start a nuclear arms race with Saudi Arabia and other countries in the Middle East. And it is, I mean, could literally be on the verge of World War III. This is how big this is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's for us, the church, to stand in the gap. God said he looked for a man to stand in the gap and found none. Can he find you? To stand in the gap and say, I am going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm going to pray for the Jewish people. And I'm going to pray that God will intervene and stop this nuclear Iran deal.
We may have some reckoning with God to do in the month of September. The Bible says there's four sins that God
does not take lightly, and the earth convulses every time we practice these sins. God pays close attention to idolatry. We are unbridled and unashamed and unafraid to put before this nation idols. They wouldn't put a picture of a cross up there, but they'll put a picture of a demon god up there, and we're flaunting it right under God's nose, and we're facing a Semitic year, and unless we repent, I'm afraid judgment's at the door. The second sin that affects the land is homosexuality, fornication, immorality, and lesbianism. God said, do not defile yourselves in any of these ways. This is the Bible. You can either reject it or you can fear it. I fear it. Desecration usually takes place before judgment comes. The third sin is the shedding of innocent blood, which includes abortion and other things. In 1973, the Supreme Court legalized abortion, and since then, over 57 million children have been aborted. Blood has a language all of its own. And when they take a baby and massacre that baby and flush it down the commode, that blood goes into the rivers, and that blood still has a voice, and God hears it. 57 million babies have been aborted, and the cup of God's wrath is filling up. The fourth sin is the sin of breaking covenant. There's a direct correlation in how God treats people who bless Israel or those who curse Israel. God has blessed America all through these years because all of our presidents have been friends of Israel, and they have stood by our most faithful ally in the Middle East. So our current president, President Obama, has categorically pulled away from Israel and threatened to abandon her as future votes come up to the UN concerning Israel. This is a deliberate and a blatant covenant-breaking piece of legislation that may determine our future as a nation into a future that we don't want to think about. Don't think God can't get to the place that his wrath will not wait any longer. America's soul is hanging in the balance, and it possibly could be that these are the final waning hours of America. It could be that September is going to bring about such swift change and such swift judgment. I'm saying possibly that these could be the final hours. To Iraq, to Iran, President Obama, to whoever will listen, you're not through with Jesus Christ. You're going to see him before too very long. You better make sure you're on the right side when you see him.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.